Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone who the Lord our God calls to himself.
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
Well, the book of Acts of the Apostles is the account of the beginning of the church, which happened on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the believers, huddled together in expectant prayer in an upper room. Well, this happened as an event which the historian Luke recounted in Acts chapter 2, and it energized the church and it changed the world. And friend, this same power is available to anyone who will submit to the salvation of God as found in the scriptures. Well, today our teacher John Matthews brings us the theme, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Esther, thank you so much. And as always, it's great to be with you wherever you join us for Mission 66 today. And today we reach an ignition moment in the New Testament. Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended back to heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit come and enable Peter to preach a sermon that is filled with extraordinary power. And we're going to read the entire account, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they, about 120 people, including the disciples and followers, were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." What comes next is Peter's first sermon. This man, Peter, changed into a different Peter than the man that we witnessed in the Gospels. His boastfulness and sometimes rash behaviour has come under the control of a better spirit. His cowardice and fear when he denied that he knew Jesus has been transformed into great boldness, and he's now empowered to preach to a great crowd of people, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Jesus, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to encourage them and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Other than Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this may have been one of the most monumental sermons in the Bible, and it was preached by the Apostle Peter. He was the same one who melted in fear at Jesus' trial, but now that the Holy Spirit had come upon him, He has been transformed into a dynamic voice calling people to repentance and faith. And some of those listening, well, they'd been guilty of handing Jesus over to be crucified and they needed to know it. And so Peter points their sin out, but he also points out the remedy. Notice how this Spirit-empowered sermon balances both the seriousness of sin and the joy of salvation hope about how badly we have failed, but also the remedy. Saving yourself from this lost and crooked ways of rebellious humanity by repenting toward God and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, was Peter's sermon effective? Just look at what it says in verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This sermon of Peter, you see, was the springboard that launched the church in Jerusalem and the new believers. And it says in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
This is Mission 66, and we are studying the amazing second chapter of Acts when the Holy Spirit was given to the believers in Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. Well, our teacher, John Matthews, is here with us, and he's ready to explain what's going on here. And John, I'm curious, wasn't the Holy Spirit already with the disciples? I mean, why does he have to come again at Pentecost?
Well, Esther, you know, the Holy Spirit was always active, even in the Old Testament, but it had a different ministry back then, and it was temporary. So the Spirit, for example, would come upon someone like Samson and give him this superhuman strength, or upon King Saul, and he would prophesy. But the Spirit wouldn't necessarily remain upon a person permanently. Sure, the Holy Spirit was already at work amongst the disciples during Jesus' earthly ministry, but when the Spirit came at Pentecost, it was sent permanently to all who believe in Jesus, and it would be to comfort, to guide, lead, and inspire believers into all truth. It would point people to Christ and give certain spiritual gifts to the church. And Jesus said the disciples should remain in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from above. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit of God to be their counselor, their comforter and helper, and that it would give them the power to spread that gospel to the world. So this event happened during the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the famous harvest feast that was also known as Shavuot or Feast of Weeks. So the Spirit came with three miraculous signs here, doesn't it? Isn't this amazing to read? The first was this sound of a violent wind. Doesn't say a wind itself, but the sound of a wind. The other sign was that tongues of fire appeared over each one present. And then another was this gift of tongues and the interpretation of these tongues.
So why tongues specifically?
Well, let's think about it this way and go back into Genesis 11, where you might remember the account of the Tower of Babel, when Nimrod led a great rebellion against God and organized the building of this great tower, which was intended to reach all the way up to heaven, at which point God confounded the languages. Before that, there was one language that was spoken by everyone. And at this point, God confounds the language. Before that point, everybody spoke one language. But at this point, God mixes things up so that groups of people couldn't understand each other for the first time. And that was in order for them not to unite against God. And so that tower, where man was trying to reach God and reach up to heaven, well, that was never finished. And here at Pentecost, you have a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. People had come to Jerusalem from near and far, from different countries, seeking God, but speaking different languages. Now people who were divided by language would all be able to hear the truth of the gospel in the language that they knew, their mother tongue, if you like. So tongues, well, they can be a topic of controversy, but they don't have to be. Here in Acts, it is an historical fact reported by Luke as being a means whereby a preacher who doesn't speak a foreign language would be enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in a foreigner's language so that that foreigner could grasp the gospel.
So is being filled with the Holy Spirit always accompanied by, say, the manifestation of tongues?
Well, tongues here at Pentecost were a sign of the Spirit arriving, but it's not necessary for every believer from then on, no. The Apostle Paul wrote in his epistles that he spoke in tongues himself, but asked, does everyone speak in tongues? Obviously meaning that not every believer does. Every true Christian, though, have the Holy Spirit within them. But this Spirit gives different gifts as he wishes. So God can enable someone to speak in tongues, but it's not for everybody, just as not every believer has the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching. But in Ephesians 5, we get the idea that being filled with the Spirit is something that should be ongoing. And Christians are encouraged to be constantly and increasingly filled with the Spirit, like something that grows on us as we open our hearts up to God. It may not be us getting more of the Holy Spirit, but perhaps it's letting the Holy Spirit have more of us.
I like looking at it from the latter part, John. That was good. All right, well, looking at verse 38 here, you know, Peter mentions receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, but is this the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, Peter says, doesn't he, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit in Greek grammar means the gift is the Holy Spirit itself. The Holy Spirit is this gift that all who believe in Christ will receive. So a better question might be, is it possible to be a real Christian without having the Spirit? Well, the Apostle Paul thought not. So he wrote to the Romans, if someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then they do not belong to Christ. That's Romans 8, verse 9. Now, a person who converts and has the Spirit should also seek to be filled with the Spirit day by day as they live their lives. And I say this because I've known Christians who may have had extraordinary spiritual gifts and yet not quite have their life in place as they might desire, because pride and lust and temptations hinder our development. There's an expression in the Bible that talks about grieving the Spirit, and so the Spirit can't do the work that God intends for it to do in our lives. So, you know, this happened in the church in Corinth, which we'll see when we get to it. This was a church hindered by all kinds of division and bad behavior. And we'll learn that it's possible to grieve the Spirit, as I mentioned, which is a matter for a different discussion. So they may have received the gift of the Spirit at salvation, but were far from being filled with the Spirit in their daily life. That was something that was a lifelong thing.
Well, John, let's talk about Peter's referral to Joel's prophecy about the moon turning to blood and the Spirit being poured out. What does that mean?
Well, Peter was quoting here one of the Jewish prophets, Joel, who centuries before predicted coming events. The pouring out of the Spirit was predicted, and that it would be made manifest in the lives of men and women, young and old. And he was saying, Peter, this event at Pentecost was part of that prophecy. But the rest of Joel's prophecy, signs on earth and heavens, well, that hasn't happened yet. But one thing remains true for all time from now on, and that is that everybody who calls on the name of Jesus for salvation will be saved.
Well, amen to that. Wow. You know, and speaking of the influence of the Holy Spirit on the people, I mean, we're told that the disciples, they began sharing everything and having all their possessions in common. I mean, do you think that we should be practicing the same thing today? Is that even possible?
You're right. We see here that they did sell their possessions and they had everything in common. But yeah, your question, is this a requirement for all time? Is this what the Spirit is telling us? Well, we could say yes and no, couldn't we? Yes, in the sense that when someone is truly converted and has the Spirit reigning in their life, understands that God is the owner of everything, that everything is a gift from Him, and we're more willing to share and be generous. We consider our possessions not as our own, but as if we were stewards taking care of what has been gifted to us for a little while. On the other hand, this was never a demand that was placed on Christians. The apostles didn't insist on it. They did it voluntarily and out of spontaneity. And they did this because they wanted to, with good hearts. So the Spirit did bring them this great joy and happiness in their newfound salvation. And so they exhibited, I suppose, a joy-filled community. And many who were watching them wondered where this joy came from and what on earth it meant. But this communal spirit evidently didn't last, because eventually everyone stopped doing this, possibly because over time they saw that it wasn't sustainable. They were free to do it or not to do it back then. And today we're free to do as we wish as well. We don't have to do it like they did.
All right. Well, John, that was a fantastic deep dive into Second Acts. How do we summarize things today?
Well, this chapter dealt with the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church grew, and so began a new era in the history of the Christian faith. After this, we saw how Peter, filled with the Spirit, proclaimed this powerful message that Christ's resurrection proved that he was indeed the Messiah, the Saviour, and encouraged his fellow Israelites to repent of what they did and believe on Jesus as the Messiah. And after Peter preached, 3,000 people were converted in an extraordinary movement of God. You know, American pastor and author, the late A.W. Tozer, said this: "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." So, it is important to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved, and then learn to depend on God, seeking to be filled with his Holy Spirit, with spiritual power. This, you know, truly is the essence of being salt and light to the world around us that desperately needs to know Jesus, whether it realizes it or not.
A beautiful conclusion to today's episode of Mission 66. And we invite you to join us same time, same place with more from the Book of Acts. Until then, friend, be blessed.